White Sox fans, welcome into the Sox on Tap podcast. It's Sunday Funday, although it might not be too much fun, the content that we're talking about here, but we're here. We're discussing White Sox baseball, Johnny Nani, alongside Tony Marchese. How are you doing, my friend?
I've been better. I've been much better, Johnny. It's full slate of losses that we get to talk about today. So that's fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm jealous of you and Steve being able to talk about that one lone win and that you guys were on. But like you had said, we got a full slate of losses here to talk about. So that's no fun, but we'll try to, work our way through it here. This one is called Feudal White Sox already floundering. Before we dive into the nitty gritty of the show, make sure you're subscribed on Tap Sportsnet on YouTube. Follow us on the socials at Sox on Tap and at On Tap Sportsnet, and check out ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. All right, Tony, let's jump in. Peel the Band-Aid right off, because the White Sox star, one of the only enjoyable moments for this team all season, is already on the shelf. Luis Robert goes down, right hip flexor strain on Friday night, and it was just a crushing blow.
Crushing blow is sort of putting it lightly, in my opinion, Johnny. I mean, this is yet another injury for this White Sox team that needed some reason for people to tune in and watch them. Now gone for, things were out there today that they're preparing for him to be gone for months. That's not great news. Not great news at all, Bob. It's going to be a very rough stretch without, two bats in the middle of the order. Eloy Jimenez already on the shelf as well. This is too commonplace with these guys, Johnny. I know that's been much of the discourse online over the past 24 hours. Talking about, the White Sox training staff, you could talk about player conditioning. I just want it to fucking stop. I just want it to stop. I don't care how, I just want it to stop. This is so painful to watch each and every year. It seems like their stars are just habitually injured. And, for what Rick Hahn said, Eloy's not injury prone. These guys aren't injured. These things are freak accidents. There's too many of them. And I go back to, I think, something that you said a long time ago: bad things happen to bad teams. And that's been stuck and ingrained in my head for the last 24 hours, that this is just another one of those bad things that happens to a bad team.
Yeah, it's rough, man. You know what really killed me was the constant replaying of the videos of the injuries for both Eloy and for Robert. And on two separate occasions, then we got the whole listed out graphic on the pre and post game shows, Tony. That one really stung for me. And like you'd said, though, it's just all of this piling up, and it just happens way too frequently. Some people swear by it's the training staff, others swear by it's the players themselves being lazy and not, getting themselves game ready over the course of the winter or whatnot. Not taking care of themselves in season, whatever the factors at play there, it's brutal. And of course it happens to two of the bats that were actually supposed to do something this year, because the White Sox offense has been totally futile, even with those guys for a period of time this past week. But still, I mean, the Robert, you figured he would have broken out of that funk at some point, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it still goes back to some of this. I want to be like every other baseball fan that's out there that gets excited when your team actually hits a baseball into the outfield and you've got a guy running towards first base. And now all of a sudden we've been conditioned, at least I have, there's that like brief moment of whether it's Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert, one of these guys running to first base. You just like, you're sort of hoping and praying that something doesn't go catastrophically wrong, because it's happened so many times. Guys tripping over bases, rounding bases wrong, coming up lame out of the batter's box. It's just, I see other baseball fans like sort of like get excited when their team gets a hit, and they're, I feel like, oh shit, please don't blow something out here. It's just rough. It's really rough to live in that sort of state, man.
On that note, just like speaking on the Robert injury specifically, I couldn't like see an exact point. You could see it in Eloy when he was going down the line and he pulled up a little bit, gimpy, and you could see him kind of hobbling there. So I saw when that went him, but with Robert, it looked pretty much like a natural round of first base, and it just happened to be that hip flexor that also gave on him in 2021. So that's also a concern. You're compounding that issue. I know what they say, it was a grade 3 in 2021 and then the grade 2 this time around, so that's what gives them the fear that it could be months. So if the 2021 one was about 3 months here, could be looking at two. I mean, you could be looking into two. That's rough. I was hoping it was going to be like a month and a half, but that seems to be out the window per Boob's report this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. Now, for everything that's out there, I know we can say, oh, you know, the Sox are in a tanking year or whatever. We all know that they can't get that, top 10 draft pick or whatever because of the rules.
Highest they can pick is 10th, I think.
Yeah, so you can thank your boy Manfred for that one. But either way, this is just another step closer to what feels like a long-standing rock bottom for this baseball team.
Last year might have been it, and
no, we're still here. We're hashtag back in the same spot as we were last season. Does Luis Robert help them win games? Probably not enough to make a huge difference, but this is going to look even uglier now for the next least month, if not two.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but like last Saturday in that game where they actually scored above five runs, right? When Luis Robert hit those two home runs, and sure, you could talk about it was all in one game and against Kenta Maeda, but what have you. But that was actually exciting. And it was, even though they lost that game, I was like, all right, well, at least they put up like some, you know, runs here and they put up a fight. And you thought, okay, if they can at least hit the ball out of the ballpark, you know, you love fireworks. They'll make it a little bit entertaining. And then you go and see when Robert gets in a slump there and the rest of the offense can't do diddly squat after him. It's really, really futile on the offense. And that's the one that I want to go to next. And that's 16 runs through nine games. I was surprised they scored three today. That was actually a shock for me. But this is like bad. And of course, at all of the counting stats, you're going to be towards the bottom of the league, if not the very worst.
There's not much else to say here, man. Like, the offense is absolutely putrid. The defense, which is something that they talked about being better, and Getz talked about building, you know, a strong defense that pitchers are going to want to play in front of and pitch for. We've seen the Little League bullshit creep up through this Kansas City series as well, too. So something's got to give at some point, right? Like, you hope. But I stand here, right, or sit here right now, and I say that this is probably the worst I've felt about the White Sox franchise in I don't know how long. And it seems to be that way every single week, just progressively getting worse. Steve and I got to talk about a win. What was that, on Tuesday? The finale of that series got rained out. We're back here now. And everything that's happened since then has been another step in the wrong direction. Between injuries, losses, horrible bullpen, just horrible bullpen play. Everything has been embarrassing. I don't know what to sit here on the show and talk about being a positive outside of two things. And that's Gavin Sheets getting on base and Garrett Crochet still looked good.
Right.
Those aren't like really things that you want to ride home about. So I don't know, man, this is going to be trouble.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, Getz had talked about improving the defense, and I will say through the first two series, I thought they played pretty clean ball. There was not a whole lot of Little League bullshit in the first two series, but then this weekend it creeps in. You get the Shoemake boot in the ball that allows three runs to score. You get Martin Maldonado, supposed to be a defensive wizard, known for that, right? Well, he can't frame anymore. Now he was blocking baseballs. Now he's letting pass balls by. Now he's throwing it down the first baseline. That's starting to unravel. And then the bullpen. I know everybody bitched and moaned about the spending, and that's a totally fair criticism of years past during the window, so to say. But trying to piece it together with guys that were signed to minor league deals or cast offs from other organizations, waiver claims, failed starters, right? Well, Davey Garcia, if he was any good, wouldn't he be in the fucking Yankees rotation, right? Then you get Dominic Leone out there signed to a minor league deal during spring training, right? And feels like I've been harping on this. Other people have given me some pushback on this, but I don't know about you. I've seen Dominic Leone too much already, and I feel like he is Pedro's like default go-to, like Brian Shaw was last year, like Jimmy Cordero was in the Rick Renteria years. That's the kind of feeling I get. And unfortunately, both of those guys that I just mentioned aren't very good.
No. First off, Shaw, best athlete or top athlete, I should say, in Chicago. Right. That's not up for debate. We all know that. But Dominic Leone, that's already a name that I don't want to see trotting out of left field again with this team. And then you go and look at the other options.
And Stephen Wilson's probably the most reliable option right now with Brebbia now banged up too. I guess we didn't even get to that on the injury front, but yeah,
we didn't get to that one. And that's a good point. He's had a couple of decent outings, Brebbia before the injury, but really you look up and down this bullpen and yeah, you talk about how people sort of bitched and moaned about all the spending that went into the bullpen, but at least there was a couple of guys.
For the most part, Kendall Graveman got his job done. You can hate the contract, but you can't argue with the guy mostly got it done. Right.
Right. And that was, I don't know about you, but like looking back in hindsight, like that was at least enjoyable. Like knowing that there was somebody sitting in that bullpen that can come out in these ball games and not turn, you know, a decent starting pitching performance into a loss. The offense doesn't help. The bullpen's terrible. The starting pitching has been somewhat okay. This is a recipe for fucking disaster everywhere you look. Dominic Leone,
while we're
down as a White Sox legend.
While we're on this, you mentioned that, and I know there's not a whole lot to be positive about, and I'm not trying to like say that, you know, you have to be like all in on these guys, and sure, they probably have some woes throughout the year, but so far, I feel bad for the starting pitchers, because for the most part, nobody's gotten egregiously touched up. Maybe Flexen in his first outing, but he bounced back in his start on Saturday night here against Kansas City. I've been pleasantly surprised by Eric Fetty. I didn't know totally what to expect him coming back over to the big leagues from KBO last year, but he looks like he's, you know, reinvented himself. I don't think he's going to be a big swing and miss and high strikeout guy, but for the most part, he's done okay in his outings, maybe a little short in the first one. Obviously, Garrett Crochet at the top. Steve gave a glowing review on the last one. Last episode that we had here, and undeniable, another not as long, but another solid outing today in Kansas City, deserved to get the win. And you know, like I said, I was surprised they actually got 3 runs for him early, but that bullpen came into play later. And other than that, you know, Michael Soroka, I was happy to see that we didn't have another injury pop up. I was holding my breath when he got hit the ball with the ankle there. But he's our only confirmed starter here for this upcoming Cleveland series. And we'll get to more of that a little bit later on. But man, I think just bottom line there, I guess I just feel bad a bit for the starting pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of, I don't know if this was something that has been talked about much, but Flexen's just emotion when he came out of that ball game yesterday was, I mean, he was pissed off that he had to leave that game. Didn't seem to like having to come out, and you sort of know why, because there's really not much that's going to come in behind you that you can trust. That's what I got out of that. He was sort of swearing into his glove and pissed off. Obviously he got himself in a little bit of trouble. He's probably mad at that too. But just watching the pitcher's emotions coming off the mound, as you know, Dominic Leone trots in, or Derry Garcia, or any of these other guys, it's going to be comical for the rest of the year. That's one of the things I'm going to watch from this team.
You know what that makes me think of? The meme of JT Realmuto behind the plate, and as like the one bullpen pitcher, I don't know who it was, but he does like a full sprint in from the left field bullpen, and Realmuto is just like shaking his head, closing his eyes. That's like the kind of reaction that I gauge from, you know, like you'd said, like Chris Flexen leaving the ball game yesterday.
Yeah, no, man, it's. Oh, how many starters are going to have at least really decent starts where you're in a ball game? I would consider it like one run down, or, you know, tie ball game, or with a lead. How many of those are we going to blow out of proportion in the next, I don't know, 150 games that we've got left here?
I mean,
there's going to be plenty of them.
We're already at like 6 because you take out the 2 blowouts, right? So we're already at 5. I guess by that, because we did win one of those, right? We're already at 5, and this is only through what, 9 games? That's almost. That's
you want to add the if you want to add the blowout in there too? That was a 1-run game.
You're right. Yeah, that was. Yeah.
So you could you could count that one too. We're at 6 already. So
6. Jesus. Yeah. That's not gonna. You know, I think that's going to exponentially grow because while the first couple of times through the rotation have been fine, once again, these like a Flexen is a veteran guy. You know, with he got touched up last year. I mean, there's a reason why contenders weren't reaching out and wanting to sign him, right? Eric Fetty is still a bit unknown. I'll keep monitoring this, and I am encouraged by the early ones, but I could just see a pitch to contact game and an offense a little more potent than the Kansas City Royals who really do some damage, right? And then Michael Soroka, I'm not going to count any, you know, eggs before they're hatched on that front. I really need to see solid, you know, put it together. Maybe we can reevaluate him at the All-Star break if we determine if Mike Soroka is hashtag back or not. And then you got the innings thing with Garrett Crochet, Tony. That's mm-hmm. one thing that you saw it today, and I think it was the right move to pull him when he did. While, you know, Steve likes to talk about he likes his 18 outs, and I personally like 21. That's really where I'm a little more old school in that regard. However, when you have a guy who's coming off of the Tommy John and pitching sparingly last year, you need to manage those innings somehow. That was a good way to cut it down, taking them out after five today. But you just wonder how they're gonna have to manipulate that going forward, and it'll be interesting to see the plan. I don't know if it'll ever be made public. Brian Bannister probably keeps that pretty close to the vest, right? But maybe we can coax some information out. Maybe Pedro will slip up in one of his word salad ramblings.
It'll really be interesting to see, because if you sort of remove or start skipping Garrett Crochet in the rotation, you're talking about prolonged stretches. We're already in one, really. One win, you know, sort of breaks that up against that Atlanta Braves team, which, I mean, they're good. They're a good team. I'm surprised we were able to pull one out against them, and that was on the back of a really dominant Garrett Crochet performance. Start looking around the schedule here. There's going to be prolonged stretches, man, where this team could lose 10, 15, 20 games in a row if you have to, you know, shy away or put them on, you know, an innings limit of five innings. Like, he's sort of the stopper right now, and he's not even essentially proven as an MLB starter. This is just the early beginning of his career as a starting pitcher in the major leagues. So there's going to be bumps in the road, especially when teams see him for the second time. Man, it's scary. This is really scary stuff to be talking about.
So with those stretches that you're talking, me and my buddies, I met up with a few of them watching the game out in a local establishment last night. And, you know, with Robert on the shelf here, we're going to hit a stretch. I want to say it's starting end of May, mid end of May, when they start with the Yankees series on the 17th. You got the Yankees, Blue Jays, Orioles, Blue Jays again at the Brewers, getting into June here. You got the Cubs, Red Sox, Mariners, Diamondbacks, Astros. That is going to be rough from mid May until mid June. That is going to be a stretch that might be a historic losing streak for the White Sox, and that we might have it.
Do you see them beating any of these teams? Now, again,
Mariners. You pull out one against Mariners.
You know, a scattered win in there. I mean, Steve and I
talked
back and forth. Like, the beatings are going to continue until morale improves, and morale is not going to improve until we start winning. So it's a chicken and the egg issue we have here with the Chicago White Sox. But, man, maybe one against – maybe you squeak one out against the Cubs just to make us feel – somewhat good, you know, like, it's just, who knows, but you're man,
and you're probably a whole with
today's long stretch where I can see maybe like one to two wins.
And with today's update, I'd probably think that Luis Robert's out for at least the beginning of that stretch. That's at least what it's sounding like, right?
Could potentially be out for the whole entire stretch of that, you know, if things are on the more severe side, or we hit, God forbid, any setbacks with Luis Robert, which has happened before as well. So this is like this. You should have just named this whole show like the negative Nani, you know, experience here with the Chicago White Sox. This is not good, man. This has to be and we've had a lot of shows where we've been sort of on the concern side for the Chicago White Sox over the five seasons that we've done this. This is the most concerned I think I've ever been.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to get into a little bit of just while we're still on some player and personnel stuff here. With Eloy's injury, it's hilarious how Pedro has to like re-explain what day-to-day means every day. There was the day-to-day stretch this past week until they finally put him on the IL, although it was retroactive. They were playing a man down, testing out the penalty kill right early. but say he comes back sometime in like what 10-day IL, so sometime late next week, in 2 weeks. How do you work this lineup with Gavin Sheets being fairly decent so far?
That's a great question, Johnny. That's honestly something that I haven't really given too much thought to.
Time to bench AV, put Sheets at first.
I was thinking that sort of myself a little bit. I you know, Gavin got the start today at first base, and honestly, he's probably put together the best plate approach out of any player on the Chicago White Sox so far.
He's seen the ball really well. He had that one home run in the series. So, and it's also, you know, not really leading to gap shots and stuff like that that you would like to see to get that slugging up a little bit more. However, I think he is seeing the ball really well. So I will give him that. And because he's seeing the ball well, how can you tell? Because he's working counts and he's drawing walks. So he's content to take his base when he needs to. And that's very rare on this team. So
very rare. I mean, he's going to start, you know, if this continues to be the on base guy. We all know the meme, Moneyball.
Yeah.
Why do we like Gavin Sheets? Because he gets on base. I'm not ready to crown him that at all yet. But really, right now, nobody's putting together at bats that Gavin Sheets has done. And I think you said it perfectly. He's drawing walks. And that's something that this White Sox team has desperately needed what seems like forever. Is somebody in the lineup that knows how to take pitches, knows the strike zone, and can put together a long at bat, work the counts, and put some strain on, you know, your opposing pitcher's pitch counts, man. And Gavin's done that so far. And, you know, you have this really nice stretch. I think he was on base 8 for 8. I think there was 3 or 4 walks in there as well and a home run. Yeah. So it doesn't get much better than that. When talking about dialed in, and I know you talk about, you know, you want to see some stuff go into the gaps. There was also another ground ball that almost made it through the right side that was cut down by the Royal second baseman. It did move a runner over, but that could have very easily been an RBI if it wasn't for a great defensive play. So, you know, I was impressed with him this series. I could see a scenario where, depending on how things look, you start that platoon with AV sitting against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that with on the flip side of that. We talked about the things that Gavin Sheets is doing well right now. Well, Andrew Vaughn is not only not hitting, right? He's not getting very many hits. He is serving up extra outs on a silver platter to the other team. They are tailor-made double play balls. I think Bobby Witt could have gone street ball if he wanted on the double play to end the game the other night. He gave him so much time, and it was the perfect like two hopper right to him. And that's coming with runners in scoring position, killing rallies, killing potential comeback opportunities. And that's brutal. And all the criticism that Andrew Vaughn has faced, I know there's, you know, kind of a little bit of a rift, I would say. It has been going on since, I want to say, probably late 2022 into all of last season. It's carried over here, and now he's getting more people in the camp that say he's just a bum and a bust, and that's what it's looking like for what, a number 3 former overall pick.
And that's not,
we're getting good in that territory.
Yeah, we are absolutely getting in that territory with Andrew Vaughn. Steve's been beating that drum for a while now when it comes to Andrew Vaughn. And you know, some of this is, in my opinion, you know, the precedent that has been set by the Chicago White Sox and a historic run of first basemen who've played here. You talk about, you know, Frank Thomas, Paul Konerko, Jose Abreu, and then you replace that production with Andrew Vaughn. And part of the reason that you move on from Jose Abreu is, well, it's, you know, this former number 3 overall pick who was touted as one of the best college hitting hitters, not even just college hitting first baseman. He won
a Golden Spikes Award.
Yeah. And what have we done with him?
You know, what has he done to prove himself? And that's not that's much. True. Yeah, that's what the question is. Yeah.
At some time you got to put up or shut up. And Andrew Vaughn is being outplayed right now by Gavin Sheets. This is a small sample size, but if you talk about the overall larger sample size of Andrew Vaughn over the course of a couple of years.
Yeah, he's had plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, You know, Sockside Mike brings up a question. Did they rush him, though? And that's sort of what I was getting to with this and the White Sox player development stuff.
Fair or not, this is where you're at, buddy. Yeah. This is where you're at. Yeah, you can make that argument. Although I don't know what good the White Sox player development system would have done for him. You know my gripes with that certain area of the organization, Tony. But he's here. He's the starting first baseman as of now. But I guess what we're getting at is that could change. Gavin Sheets, because basically Andrew Vaughn has to go on an absolute heater and it has to last for most of the season for anyone to feel any sort of confidence in him.
Man, you don't want this to feel like a wasted pick. You don't want to give up on the guy. I understand if you're a fan in that camp, but it's how hard is it to find a first baseman that can hit? I mean, it feels like most of the league has a guy and we don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
You see the Marlins using Jake Berger at first base and you just sort of wonder like, man, was that even thought of as a contingency plan for this roster? Because, you know, you've got Yoan Moncada at third. Well, and
Kenny's last guy was Jake Eater. So we had to have him.
Yeah. Well, Kenny always gets his guy.
Yeah. All right. As we move on here through the rest of what's going on in White Sox world, this thing could be even worse because there was that rain out that you mentioned against the Braves. So you could have another loss on that.
Oh, yeah. We've got to have them come back at some point.
Yeah. I firmly believe that would have been a loss, too, because you were going to our favorite, who we just talked about earlier in the show, Dominic Leone, is the opener in a bullpen day. And that would have been rough. So yeah, the Braves are coming back on June 27th with that rain out. And that's going to, yeah, that adds to that whole kind of grinder, I guess, the Rocky series in there. That would be, you know, one that's a little bit more on our playing field, but then it's sandwiched. I believe that's right after a series against the Dodgers too. So that'll be interesting come late June on that front. All right, Tony, I didn't want to have to bring this out this early. I really didn't, but I was talking with some buddies over beers in the game, and I came up with a nickname for Dominic Fletcher because we were evaluating roster and we were talking about, you know, some of the new faces in the fold here. And obviously the White Sox traded Christian Mania, a pitching prospect, for Dominic Fletcher, who presumed to come in and be the opening day right fielder, right? I know he didn't play on opening day because of the lefty situation against Skubal, but either way, he's gotten most of the run out there in right field. I was just hoping that we could fill this right field black hole and have a competent, even just like a little bit over replacement level player right there. I don't know what we're going to get there, but the outlook so far isn't good. About the best thing I can say about Dominic Fletcher is he's got a strong arm. Much better than Benintendi, so there's that. But otherwise, it took him until like today to get his first meaningful hit, right? He had a ball bounce off of his glove in center field for, you know, a home run that went out of the park. They probably should challenge that one too. Nice going, Pedro. Do you know how tall Dominic Fletcher is?
I don't, but I'm not looking it up. Maybe 5'7".
He's 5'6". Ooh, so where'd he come from? He came from the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to put this one on Josh Barfield since he was hired from the Arizona Diamondbacks there. I believe he probably had a hand in advising, at least, on that trade, right? Look at their outfielders. Look at their young studs. NL Rookie of the Year, Corbin Carroll. Alec Thomas, speedster, right? And those guys are helping the Diamondbacks win. They helped them to the World Series last year. Well, the rest of that outfield group, when you look down at there, who was the outskirt that they could cast off? It was Dominic Fletcher. And why? He's the runt of the litter. Runt is Dominic Fletcher's new nickname, Tony.
Wow. This is fantastic. You know, work from you once again, Johnny. Stuck with the runt and right. The runt and right field, man. That's
Now I just like that center field, the ball going off his glove. That's gonna like be like a meme now. I'm gonna have to do some edit for it.
Why are we always the fucking memes though? Like with this team, man. Like I know we've got to have some fun.
They're meme worthy. That's why.
Meme worthy baseball team. You know, you put them out there against the Savannah Bananas for the rest of the fucking season. They still might lose every game, but at least we'll get some better memes.
Yeah, that's true. Someone did a backflip catch. That was pretty sweet. I saw that one. That was the latest Savannah Bananas highlight that I saw there. But yeah, that's where we are. I wanted to give him a fair like shake, like evaluation period here. And maybe not bust that out, like maybe wait until like June and see like if he had done anything over the first couple of months and whatever. But unfortunately, it's looking like we're gonna have this issue unless, once again, goes on a bit of a heater here, starts hitting consistently and maybe getting on base too. That might help because while he's short, I think he has okay speed, not an absolute burner, but not slow, right? So we like, why can't we find baseball players that are like good at everything? You know, every other team seems to have players that are good at everything, and we lost ours to injury over the weekend. At least a few of them, right?
We're just not allowed to have nice things.
Yeah.
I think that's a rule here. We're not allowed to have nice things. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's a combination of all of it, but this really just feels like, as a White Sox fan, I don't know about you, but I feel like we've been like spat in the face by this organization. It's all of the stuff. This is a perfect comment for this too, from Sockside Mike. Where is the try here to win? And then the comments that come from Pedro after some of these things as well. Oh, the comments that come from Getz. I don't know what to make of any of this right now. It's just very disappointing.
Yeah. On that front, now that we're on Pedro, much has been made about him so far. He shaved. That's a new update there. So Mr. Clean is fully back, as we announced over on Sox on Tap on X yesterday. But Tony, there's been some absolute word salad, especially I'd mentioned earlier about the explaining of what day to day is. And, you know, while everybody likes to pile on him, and for good reason, right? There's plenty of things that he does in terms of just managerial decisions that make you want to do it. And then the quotes, just, you know, especially after a loss, nobody wants to hear it, but he's got to say something. He's got to meet with them, right? There's a little bit of a time where I feel bad for him at times. I really do, because while I don't think he's a good manager in the White Sox, you're going to have to move on here at some point. I do feel bad for him. What are you supposed to say after Luis Robert gets injured? And besides, like, if you were completely honest, you'd say this is absolutely soul crushing. We were already struggling and this is going to kill us. Right.
I would like that, you know, to be honest with you. I'd like to be honest with you.
Yeah. But he's obsessed. Remember, that's one of my favorite things. Shout out to Nick from Good Guys Talk Back is obsessed with the Pedro. That meme is just outstanding. Big fan of that one so far.
What do you think when he says obsessed? Like, what do you think Pedro?
Well, he talked about obsessed with getting this organization on the right track.
That was what is he doing right now to make this organization?
Oh, there was another one too. What is it? They're in the cages. They're watching film and they're preparing. Right, that was like the trifecta of what he said. I gotta pull up the exact one because it was another word salad gem, and those are a plenty. Coming from Pedro Grifol, but let's see.
I know Garrett Crochet said that it's time for them to get mad. I don't know. Can you be angry?
I think it's very easy for a starting pitcher to be pissed off. I would be.
That's well. Oh, yeah,
I mean, here's what they're doing. Here's how they're obsessed, Tony. They're working, talking, and preparing.
Working, wow. Talking, and preparing.
Yeah,
it's great. That's not translating, but they're doing it.
Yeah. Oh man, this is where we're at, and it's rough. And you've got looking ahead here, is it going to get any better? I can't tell you, because guess what, we don't have a starter lined up for Monday against Cleveland. We open that series. It's a 3-game set there, and then they will come home and face Cincinnati Reds over the weekend with an off day sandwich in between there on Thursday, Tony. But we're looking at this, the only set starter for the weekend series, or excuse me, the upcoming opening week series in Cleveland is Mike Soroka on Tuesday. This lends to possible Nick Nastrini debut on Monday, because I believe Scott Merkin reported it would come from most likely come from outside the current 26 man roster. Thoughts on that?
Nastrini makes some sense. I don't know where he lines up right now with his minor league starts. I know that we also will eventually see Mike Clevinger back in this rotation. I don't know if we got to that.
May 1 was the goal for that.
Yeah, so this seems like a little early for him to work back. I know he's just reporting to the Arizona Complex League, I believe, to get some work in before he joins the rotation. I don't know. Is it going to be Pedro Grifol's favorite, Dominic Leon, coming in to a ball game? I believe that's probably out of the equation with the comments about it being outside of this roster. That said, you know, an opener situation for an inning or two could be on the table as well. I trust nothing with this team and what they say and what comes out in the reports, because things just changed with the wind. But I would probably say Nastrini out of everybody else has the highest odds if I'm a betting man.
So, yeah, I would probably guess that's what's going to be the case. But as we're talking about him, I know that, well, I think they said he had some illness towards the end of spring training, and that made his prep not as smooth as it would have been. And I believe he was a starter in that game that everybody was talking about, the minor league game, the AAA game against Baltimore's affiliate, right? And they scored like 26 runs. But I want to say that Nastrini was the starter in that game, and he got yanked, you know, early on. Not all of those runs were attributed to him. But that's a rough go of it when you're settling in with your new I guess he was there for the end of last year, but, you know, new season, settling in there, knowing that you're on the cusp of getting the call. And now you have to go and pitch on this whole Eclipse Day. And I believe it's Guardians home opener too, if he's called up, and that's who he's going to face. And he's going to face Tristan McKenzie, another toothpick there, Tony. But it's a rough situation, and I basically am not getting up for the letdown here. That's what I want to advise on.
Some wise words there from Mr. Hashtag Negative Nani, not to get up for the letdown with this one. Cleveland's had our number for what seems like the last 3-4 years.
Since that COVID, end of the COVID season in 2020, when they you know, got to Carlos Rodon, right? Mm-hmm. And we got swept out of there.
Yep.
Since then, it's been cursed against Cleveland.
It's not great. So we'll see how much of a disaster this turns into. Do you think we get one win in this series?
I'm not personally not confident in it. And I don't know who you go to Wednesday either. Are we going like?
Wouldn't it be Flexen's technical turn back through the rotation?
Fetty,
yeah. I don't know. It's interesting that they list TBA unless there's some sort of shakeup within the rotation already. You know, they could be looking at this the same way we are and saying, like, there's no stopper here. What do we, you know, how do we line these up for, you know, more optimal matchups? As there is an off day on Thursday coming up in there as well, so you can sort of try and get back to Garrett Crochet. I would assume potentially next Saturday or Friday is where you'll see Crochet again. So this one's going to be tough. I'd rather you sort of optimize the rotation for Cleveland in the best way possible, but there's really no fucking options here, dude. Like, this is it's sort of just a mini murderer's row against this Cleveland team that has been a thorn in the White Sox side forever. I don't know if you go Fetty on Wednesday, and if you were going to go Fetty on Wednesday, why not just say that now?
Yeah. I don't know. this organization, they'll never fail to, make you scratch your head. That's a given with this.
All right.
We're getting close to winding down here on this episode of Sox on Tap. Appreciate everyone tuning in. Once again, make sure you're subscribed over on YouTube, On Tap Sportsnet. Follow us on the socials at Sox on Tap and at On Tap Sportsnet. Tony, let's get some final thoughts here as we reflect on this 1-8 team that is looking historically bad.
Final thoughts. I haven't had a chance to mention this at all yet. This White Sox offense has sort of, really pissed me off, A, because they're not scoring a lot of runs, but B, we have this new pitch clock thing that makes these baseball games go by much faster than they used to. And I'm a fan of longer baseball games. I'm just going to say it. When your offense is as putrid as the White Sox and these games are taking 2 hours, it's just not a good product at all watching this. I don't know how you feel about it, Johnny. Some are going to come out here and say, that's great. The game's over a lot faster, and I don't have to watch the White Sox and suffer through these things. I'm waiting for a 3 hour White Sox baseball game that's actually entertaining that I can sit down and
watch,
enjoy more than a beer or two beers, and then the game's over and I have no idea what to do with the rest of my day. This has been so far the fucking worst start to any baseball season that I've ever had for multiple reasons. My team's bad and the games aren't lasting long at all. This isn't just a problem for like, or it seems to be more of a problem for the White Sox. I'm watching other teams play and the games actually like sort of just move around and all this other stuff. I see Soxide Mike in the comments again. It's affecting pitchers getting injured. I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I did watch a clip of Tyler Glasnow talking about how sticky stuff is actually the cause of pitchers getting injured. That's really interesting. Too, yeah. If you saw that, I highly recommend going out and watching that. It's just type in Tyler Glasnow on the X machine and you can find that. I found that very interesting myself, but the pace of play is so fast. It's really been hard for me to get in and actually like enjoy what's going on with baseball.
Are you so like the White Sox lineup, not in your rhythm and flow yet?
I'm not in my rhythm or flow at all with this team right now. It's bad. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to enjoy a baseball game this season. It's a very sad state of affairs for me.
Yeah. I will, I guess, you know what? I'm kind of somewhere in the middle on the pitch clock. I wasn't a fan of it when it was first announced and whatever. Although I think I have adapted to it at least, and I can't say I really like it or I'm a huge like advocate for it, but I'm probably not as anti pitch clock as you are. I'm somewhere else on that, you know, scale. But the problem is with the team's performance, Tony, and that's because I agree. When are we going to see a 3 hour White Sox game? That would mean they are driving in a bunch of runs. That would mean they're getting timely hits and chasing pitchers from games. And that way they have to have mound visits and, switch up with bullpen arms there and just long extended innings, right? Where you're tacking on crooked numbers, as the Hawk always advocated for. I don't know how many crooked number innings we're going to see this year. We might have already blown our load on it in that Saturday game against Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what I'm getting at with this is I'd like to see the White Sox offense out there for longer. I mean, you're talking about there are innings for this White Sox team, multiple per day, where it's under 5 minutes, under 3 minutes. First batter, you know, weak ground ball.
Part of that's everybody pounding the first pitch into the ground for, you know, just an easy ground out to either second or short.
Take some pitches so I can drink a beer, please. Come on.
Andrew Vaughn loves nothing more than working behind 0-2 in a count and then hitting a weak roller over to shortstop. That's a specialty.
Yeah, but our baseball IQ is much higher.
Yeah, yeah. My final thought here, a guy that it's probably just a lightning rod, Tony, just absorbing some of the frustration from the whole product as a whole, but my gosh, I can't stand Martin Maldonado. I was meh on the signing. I never liked him when he was with Houston either, but I understand the value that he gave to them back when he was in his prime. He was a good defensive catcher. I'll give him that. That ain't it anymore. He's cooked. He's over the hill. He saw him pass ball today. He saw him throwing the ball around for the defensive wizard. You can't ride on the past laurels there. I know some of the guys will go and say that, oh, well, he did a really good job of settling his pitcher down there and all this and that. I don't want to say that that's worthless, but any big league catcher should be able to do that, right? As part of the position. Like, you can't just excuse the complete crater of an offensive production that he has by saying, oh, well, he's a good clubhouse guy. I hate that. Bad teams like this talk about culture and all that kind of shit and the intangibles, right? And any competent big league catcher should be able to do that. That's my take on it. So I hope Corey Lee has that too, because I'd much rather at this point, I can't believe I've said this, especially after how brutal he was to end last year, especially with the bat. However, I'd like to see Corey Lee play more than Martin Maldonado behind the plate.
Well, you do have
at least hit a home run. Corey Lee hit a home run already. Yeah.
On a rehab assignment right now with Charlotte.
I don't know if that'll be much better.
I don't know if that's the answer you're looking for, but I think Martin Maldonado might be a potential DFA guy. What are you sending Corey Lee back down when he's the guy
I believe he's got options. Yeah,
Yeah, I mean, it's probably what they'll do, but
they could probably mess around with Stassi down there a little bit longer, though, just due to the all of last year, and then getting back in the swing of things with the
timing. We'll see what happens. But I fully agree with your assessment there. I didn't like that signing when it happened, and I still don't.
Yeah. I know, looking at randomly just home run totals, I want to say he had 15 or 16 last year. You got to run into one soon here for me to feel any sort of okay about you being in the lineup every day. It's got to happen, man. I know you got a double the other day, but that was entering last night's game, his OPS plus was -77. Tony, you can have a negative OPS plus.
At least he's got that going for him.
Yeah. So that was raised, though, because I want to say he did hit a double, but that's where it's at, and that's how much of a crater it is offensively. So that just pisses me off when I see that. And I know there's other guys not doing their job. I went off on Andrew Vaughn a bit earlier. He's got to pick it up too, man. But that's I just wanted to get that out there because it is that's rough.
It is. It's rough sledding out there for this team, and it's probably going to continue all year long. Oh, man. We're only two weeks into this?
Yeah, we're 9 games, 2 weeks into this. So new series starts Monday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. Talk about what happened against the Guardians. Hopefully we have at least one win to talk about, but I would not count on it. But that's where we're at. And then they'll be home again after that against Cincinnati, getting the little Ohio tour in this upcoming week of White Sox baseball. That'll do it for us here at Sox on Tap. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Again, make sure subscribe to On Tap Sportsnet on YouTube and give us a follow on the socials at Sox on Tap and at On Tap Sportsnet. OnTapSportsnet.com, place to go for all your Chicago sports, literature, and podcasting needs. Until next time, White Sox forever.
White Sox forever.